Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 28th day of December, which is a Wednesday. And I know that for a fact, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But we have our very well, extremely qualified producer, Greg Zalmar, on the board.
It's Craig, but hello, everybody.
No, that's what I said, Craig.
You said Greg today.
Did I say Greg? Okay.
It's all right.
Well, wait a minute. You know, if I say Greg, then it is going to be Greg for today. So today you'll have to be Greg.
I'll be Gregarious Greg. Yep.
All righty. Do you remember a guy named Pat Buchanan?
No.
Pat Buchanan, he was with President Ronald Reagan, and he used to come on the radio program back in the 80s, and he would always call me Eddie. And after a while, he said, "I'm sorry, Pastor Ernie." And I said, "That's all right. I started to like that name." Anyhow, let's go to someone much, much prettier than Greg or me. That might not be hard to do at all, but much prettier in her own right, a real lady, someone who knows all about natural medicines, and that's who she is. She's all natural, nature's marm, it's medical marm. Miss Wendy Wilson.
I'm here, Pastor.
What day is it, Wendy? Happy New Year to you.
It's Wednesday.
All righty. All right, the little joke on that, folks, is when Wendy had called me earlier, I had gotten confused. And I said, "Wendy, you do know it's only Tuesday." And she says, no, up here where I'm at, it's Wednesday. And so you're right, Wendy. Okay, just testing. Let's see. We got a lot of things we got to talk about tonight. So one of the things, I get reminded to tell you that tomorrow morning we have our Thursday morning prayer meeting. And Thursday morning at 9 a.m., in Doers of the Word, a small group of prayer warriors, people that really, truly believe in prayer. Even when it's snowing, if there's a blizzard, if there's a storm, if there's a tornado, a volcano, an earthquake, we still show up. This small group of dedicated prayer warriors who really, truly believe in prayer. And so we'll be there tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And if you're out there and if you feel like we do, if you really do believe in prayer, really do, like for real, join us tomorrow morning at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. Now, after saying that, we want to go to our scripture. The title of the message, Wendy, was A Christmas Story. And we're going to pick it up where we left off over in Luke chapter 2.
Before we dive in, can I ask something?
Sure.
Okay, so last time I was here with you, one of your California listeners called my office because we were talking about the supplement industry and with the congressmen, and two of them are trying to get, you know, done with the extreme testing of supplements. Anyway, this listener called me and said that Dr. Joel Wallach sued the FDA many times, five times and one each time. And there's a CD or DVD on that information. I contacted the Wallach folks, and they sent me a CD, but it was the wrong one. So if that listener out there in California can call my office tomorrow, tell me what the title of that CD is so I can get the right one, because that's going to be important information if we want to save our supplement industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one more battle we have to fight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're up to it, aren't we?
Well, we're going to have to be.
All righty, yep, we certainly have to be. All right, we start in Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. So, Wendy, what happened there? Who was the Lord was using Augustus? He was using Augustus to bring Joseph to Bethlehem. Why?
I guess he had to come in contact with Mary, wouldn't he?
No, Mary would be with him, going to Bethlehem.
Oh, they're married. Yeah. Yeah.
She's big with child. Well,
I guess to hide them?
No, it's because 400 years earlier, Micah 5:2, actually 500 years earlier, Micah 5:2 said that the child would be born in Bethlehem. And so here this prophecy was fulfilled. If God decided, well, he was going to use Augustus to fulfill his prophecy here. Now, here's the interesting thing, because a lot of people don't know this. Actually, what this was a census. The taxing actually came later. They brought him in. Everybody had to go there and to where they were supposed to be. And then they were registered. And then after that, they got taxed. And so he goes on to say, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so here we see that Joseph and Mary, they were the descendants of David. Now, the Old Testament is filled with prophecies that Messiah would be born in David's royal line. In fact, you see that in Isaiah 11:1. Let me see. It was, Jeremiah 33, if I remember, 15. Ezekiel 37:24. Hosea 3:5. All of these and more talk about the Messiah is going to come from David's royal line. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, and so it was that while they were there, and the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered, she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Do you know what the swaddling cloths were for?
To make them feel like, you know, they're in the womb, you know, make them feel comforted.
Well, actually, it was to tie the little suckers down so you wouldn't have to watch them. No, it was really to keep their arms and their legs would grow straight. That was one of the big problems they had in those days. So their arms and their legs would grow straight, and also it helped to keep them warm. And boy, did, you know, maybe that's what we needed here in the past week. Boy, Maybe we needed, of course, we have long johns, but it got cold out here. And so here he goes on to say, and there were in the same country, let me where did I leave off? Oh, I know. And the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn, okay, right, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so sore afraid. Now, this angel of the Lord, do you know who that was?
I would say it was Jesus.
Yep, that's called a Christophany, isn't it? How do you know?
How do I know?
Yeah.
Well, isn't the angel of the Lord usually Jesus?
Yeah, when it refers to as the angel of the Lord, yeah, it's usually a Christophany. You're right. But see, this was the Lord announcing his own birth.
Yep.
And you say, well, how could he do that? Well, God is omnipresent, isn't he?
Right.
But if you are looking for evidence to prove this, because some will say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at the evidence. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. That glory is called, what, Shekinah glory. Where, there's only one place where you'll find Shekinah glory, and that is where you'll find who?
God.
That's right. You'll only find it in the presence of God. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What do you think they were thinking? I mean, look. They were waiting for, here, God. God just announced, I mean, this is God, right, who created the entire universe.
Right.
And so these shepherds were probably thinking, this is God. I mean, the baby should be born in a mansion, a glorious mansion, you know, than unlike anyone has ever seen. Why a baby born in the Messiah in a manger? Okay. Lying in a manger, and suddenly, here comes another clue to who the angel of the Lord was. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So what they were doing is worshiping God, wouldn't they?
Right.
If it was an ordinary angel, could he accept that worship? But they were all there worshiping the Lord himself. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They were in peril. Really, they absolutely believed what the angel said, because did you ever see shepherds that would leave their flocks? What were they considered?
Hirelings.
Hirelings, that's right, hirelings, and they would not be known to be employed by, they would have a pretty bad reputation, wouldn't they?
Right.
And so they... These guys, they said, well, let's go see. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so... What do you think Mary was thinking? Now, a lot of people, you know, out there, it's a common belief that Mary was a young girl of about 14 years of age. But how do we know that she had to be much older than that?
Not sure. How do we know?
Okay, I'm going to read you. This is called Mary's Song, or better known as the Magnificat. Now, see if this sounds to you like a 14-year-old girl. Ready? And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength in with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in his imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them in low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he hath spake to the fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So Mary just quoted several passages of Scripture that she had, and she did it, and she absolutely went back to where the beginning with Abraham, and that's where Zacharias started with his, and he went from Abraham all the way to eternity. Does that sound like the words of a 14-year-old girl?
Now, that sounds like, you know, a more mature person who's studied.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been my estimation. So most of us believe that she was between 18 and 20 years of age. And so, and Mary and Joseph, well, when they go to the temple, let's pick it up where we left off. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That word Jesus means what? God be with you, God with us, okay? And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present them to the Lord. Well, here, it's an interesting thing because I've never known why, but if it was a male child, if a male child opened the womb, okay, he had to be dedicated to the Lord. And the days of the mother's purification, if it was a male child, was 40 days. It was a female, it was 80 days. So she would be, for the male child, 40, for the female, 80 days, ceremonially unclean. And do you know what that meant, that she was ceremonially unclean? And why do you think the female was 80 days instead of, and the male 40?
I don't know. Why?
I don't know. I've never had a baby. I'm asking you all. Well, I know that often the number 40 was used in many things in Scripture. So for the male, I could see that. For the female, why it would be, I don't know. But I do know what the ceremonially unclean meant. It meant that she was not allowed to go into the temple and do certain things. And so not able to go and be around other people and worship. And so that was, she was ceremonially unclean. But I don't know why.
I'm just wondering why they, you know, a woman who's given birth is ceremonially unclean. Why is that? Is it because of the menses or what?
Probably. She has, you know, they had a purification period. I know that when they had their period, they would be unclean, and they would have to be separated from the rest of the people for 7 days. And so they would, you know, and, you know, a lot of times because, what do they call that, PMS?
Yeah.
They would be accused often by other women as being a witch. And I can understand that away because I had some female relatives that were going through that, and I can understand why they would be called that. They could become pretty pretty grumpy.
Well, it's really the endocrine system is the system that manufactures hormones, and really the transition of menopause should be a smooth one. It shouldn't be a bumpy ride. So if it's a bumpy ride, it's an indication that the hormones are out of balance. So getting the hormones balanced creates this smooth transition through menopause like it's nothing.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you're here.
There's some herbs that we call them the female herbs. There's six of them, and you use them all together, and it helps that area, the reproductive system for women and the hormonal system. So if you use those herbs in one way, you can improve fertility and you can balance menstrual cycles. But if you use them in another way, it helps with the transition through menopause. So it's pretty spectacular what God gave us as far as these type of herbs, you know?
Yeah, it is. There was something that the guys played a joke on one of the pastors, something called Black was Macintosh or something like that. I'm trying to think of, but it was an herb that did what you're talking about there. Mm. It was female herbs.
Well, there's also herbs for the men too to help them with you know their hormone system. So the testosterone and everything. So men have their separate ones.
Well, we don't get grumpy once a month though. Well, maybe. I don't know. All right. So, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which he said is of the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Well, you know what? I'm going to stop right there and pick it up because that's a good place for me to pick it up tomorrow. And so we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine, I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners, hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners, I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday, heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when, I'm blessed by you. Someday, heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you.
satisfied. Oh, some right day gonna fly away. It's there I'll stay. I'll be there with you, 'cause your words are true. I'm blessed by you.
All right, we're back. I played that song for Wendy because I know she likes it. Right?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Listen, I wanted to say something before we went any farther tonight. I want to thank you, all you folks out there, for all the wonderful letters that you've sent me. Let me tell you, Wendy, I think three times now I got letters, and I think they referred to me as a lion of the Lord, a lion of the Lord. That, to me, is one huge compliment to me. That is, you know, that just unbelievable. That's that. But anyhow, I've gotten, again, I want to thank all of you for those kind letters, all those Christmas cards and all. Listen, we read every single one of them. And believe me, your prayer request tomorrow morning, your prayer request will be in a stack. And we don't stop until we've gone through every single prayer request. But anyhow, again, I just want to say,
I got some cards from your listeners too. Very, very nice and complimentary. And I read all of them and really appreciate everything they said.
Well, you should. You're a very nice person.
Aw, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that.
All right. Anyhow, again, so with that, we're going to go and tell us, first of all, now, up here, believe me, we've been hit hard with this flu. I mean, hit hard. Our church, I got hit harder than it's ever been in 50 years out there. We never had so many people out as we were on Christmas Sunday. Normally, you know, that's a big day for our church people, but so many people in a church had that flu, and and so they're just now all getting over it. But here's the main thing, Wendy, with all of us, congestion. You know, the it wasn't so bad, the cough. I didn't have the coughing like I had before, you know, a while back. I had gotten it, and, you know, you had a lot of coughing. I didn't have hardly any coughing or fever. But, boy, do you have a lot of congestion. And all of the folks that I'm in contact with have the same thing. What do we do about it?
Well, did the congestion start in the sinus area, or was it?
Yeah, exactly. That's where it starts.
Okay, so what you really had was a sinus infection that became bronchitis. Typically, that's what happens when you have a sinus infection. When you go to sleep at night, it can drip down the back of your throat and go into the bronchial. So you guys had a virus, and then it became bronchitis. So I can't give medical advice, but this is what I do. First, I clear the sinuses of something like that, and I make sure they're not going to be draining down and contributing more mucus to the bronchial. And then I work on the bronchitis at the same time, and it's a different set of herbs that I use for that. And it's typically, you would know it as our pneumonia kit. Our sinus formula is the Echinacea Deluxe, that hot and spicy one you seem to like.
Yeah, I'm going to write all this down real quick because I am still congested, but go ahead. So Echinacea?
Yes. So Echinacea Deluxe to help clear the sinuses, and, you know, a lot of your hot and spicy herbs, they move blood, they move body fluids, they also move mucus out of the sinuses. So when you have mucus in the sinuses, it's really the immune system working. It's trying to encapsulate the foreign body that it won't spread. So, but it's our job to get the mucus out. And the same thing when we get mucus in the bronchial, it's trying to keep it from spreading to the lung, and it's our job to cough the mucus out. So so I use the hot and spicy Echinacea Deluxe to, you know, move the mucus out of the sinuses, and then I use the pneumonia kit for the bronchitis area. And there's two formulas in that, as you know, Pastor. One is another immune system formula. It's we use our fresh echinacea root for that one. It's real powerful. And that helps with the infection. And then we use the relaxation formula. That's the second formula in that kit. and that is going to help dilate the bronchial and help you cough up that sticky mucus really easy, because you'll have a urge to cough when you take that. My little trick is get in a hot, steamy shower and take a dose of that, and then it seems to loosen that mucus a lot better, and you get a lot of power behind the cough when you're dilated, and so you can cough it up a lot easier. So that's what I do, and I also use that Taifu oil we mentioned.
Taifu.
That's a nice product. Yeah, that's a nice product from Nature Sunshine. I like to add it to my herbal products because it's such a lovely blend of oils. It's got camphor and cedar and eucalyptus, and you just put a few drops of that in the palm of your hand, rub your palms together, cup your hands over nose and mouth, and breathe deeply. And what it does is it disinfects the airway and also shrinks any swelling tissue there. And if you did have a cough, you would just layer in the thyme tincture. It has a germicide in it. It's really good for a lot of these pulmonary issues. They would give that to kids who had whooping cough because the germicide kills the infection. So there's lots of herbal tools there. And if you do have the flu, because it sounds like you guys didn't really have a flu bug, but you had a different type of bug. But if you did have the flu, my secret to dealing with the flu is you don't shut the fever off. You let the fever go. You just keep the fever wet, which means you keep hydrating and drinking. Because when you have a fever of 101 or higher, your antibodies are released. So your antibodies are temperature specific. So if you turn the fever off with the over-the-counter Tylenol and acetaminophen products, you shut off the antibody activity, and you're sicker longer. So if you want to get over the flu in 2 days, don't turn the fever off. Hydrate, drink plenty of fluids. You can certainly use your immune support herbs. There's lots of things you can do to help speed recovery with your herbals. So,
let me see if I've got this right. I start with Echinacea Deluxe. I go to the Immune Booster. Mm-hmm. Then I go to the Relaxation Formula. I do the Taifu oil and the thyme texture. Now,
right. Now, so since you still have, do you still have congested sinuses?
It's usually when I wake up in the morning, it's real bad. And I do a sinus flush. I have that, those little salt tablets you put in that, and that usually works until sometime in the afternoon where it starts coming back on me.
Okay. Yeah, so if it were me, I would use all those formulas together. Don't wait to use the bronchitis one. I would use that with your Echinacea Deluxe and do a full sweep. That's what I would be doing. I would use all of them.
Okay, now what I do is normally I put these things in a glass of like V8 juice or orange juice.
Yeah.
And now can I put all these in there together at one time?
Yes. The relaxation formula, I'd probably hold that out separate as a decongestant, you know. Plus, you know, some people have a little sensitivity to that herb. The secret to that one is if you get a little nauseated, you'll notice that's where your dose limit is. But basically, if you're going to put your doses in juice or water, don't put it in an 8-ounce glass. Put it in a few ounces, because if you don't finish your beverage, you're not getting your dose.
I've been using this circulation thing that you have. This is and that's been working. But I've used like 3 droppers full, and I put that in a glass, and I drink it before I go to bed at night. Now, for the folks out there to know, this is like really, it's hot. It's like super hot. It's made out of what, habanero peppers?
It is, yeah, habaneros.
Mm-hmm. But it works. It really works. And so I've been using that before I go to bed. And if not, what happens, I get the tingling in my hands and the numbness. I get like numbness in my hands and my feet, but especially my hands. But if I take that, I don't. And so,
yeah, if you tend to get peripheral neuropathy really bad, then what I do is I'll add ginger to the cayenne, because ginger helps get that blood flow to the smaller capillaries.
Oh, I love the ginger. Yeah.
Yeah, so the capillaries, when you kind of sit wrong or you go to sleep wrong and your leg goes to sleep, and then when you move and the blood flow starts flowing back into that limb appropriately, you get that pins and needles sensation, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of similar to your peripheral neuropathy, because the nerve endings aren't getting oxygen-rich blood. And so when you use your circulatory herbs like your cayenne and your ginger, you're getting that circulation to those small capillaries, which is important, especially if you're on the diabetic side.
All right, very good. I'm glad I explained all that to you.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so tell me what you know about glaucoma.
Well, I've had some calls about glaucoma, and I came across some new research, so I thought I'd go ahead and talk about it just briefly here. We have a problem with glaucoma in the United States, and it's getting worse. If you're diabetic, it doubles your risk of getting glaucoma. So the CDC also published a report that focused on eye health, and they were saying 3 million Americans have glaucoma. So do you know what glaucoma is, Pastor?
Isn't that swelling? Isn't that inflammation?
Well, it is, but glaucoma basically is an eye disease that can damage the optic nerve and can result in vision loss and even blindness if you don't tend to it. So the optic nerve carries these signals to the brain for you to see, and glaucoma is the second leading cause of blindness worldwide. Now, the most common form of glaucoma is called open-angle glaucoma, which involves the increased pressure in your eye. And there are usually no symptoms that glaucoma has started, so it's kind of a silent killer there, and it tends to damage the eyesight, and you may not even notice it. So when you get to the late progression stage of glaucoma, that's when a lot of the vision impairment begins to be noticeable. Gradual peripheral vision loss, you'll notice that. So most eye professionals will do what is called a dilation test to confirm glaucoma and to check on the health of the optic nerve. That's why when you go to the doctor, they want to dilate your eyes. They're really checking the optic nerve for glaucoma.
Wow.
So, yeah. So basically, the Sight Center of Northwest Ohio said this: a person can get glaucoma even when they have normal eye pressure. And by the way, everybody's eye pressure is usually higher in the morning, okay, and it lowers by the afternoon. So if you're typically going to a health professional and they're checking your pressure, maybe go in the afternoon when it normalizes out to a normal pressure for you. It's higher in the morning, okay? So some of the medical treatments, Pastor, that they have for glaucoma is eye drops. You've probably heard people be put on those. Laser surgery and other optical surgeries for people with glaucoma. But what was interesting about this study I came across in Science Direct, they had research on glaucoma. They stated it's an inflammatory issue that was extremely toxic to the entire eye. So here are some of their findings. I'm just going to read you briefly here. They said glaucoma could be referred to as a para-inflammation dysregulation in which oxidative stress, and it speeds up the aging process of your eye. They say the trabecular meshwork dysfunction, most likely caused by the oxidative stress, causes inflammation response. So you get a lot of inflammation in the trabecular meshwork. And this is tissue in the anterior chamber of your eye, and it helps manage ocular pressure. So that's affected.
Well, that's exactly what I meant when I said inflammation.
Right.
All of what you just said.
See how smart you are, Pastor?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting smarter all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah. So ocular surface inflammation, they say, compromises also the cornea, the conjunctiva, and the trabecular meshwork. So their inflammation therapy, they said, may be a valuable therapeutic strategy for glaucoma. And they said inflammation may interfere with the retinal blood flow, which can also cause optic nerve damage. And chronic vascular stress, they said, also can impair your and cause retinal regeneration or degeneration. They said oxidative stress is closely related to slow cell regeneration. In other words, the cells aren't regenerating as fast as they should, and the mitochondrial dysfunction, and you get what is called neuroinflammation. So a lot of, you know, we're talking about the brain. Your eyes are part of your brain. Now, all of the above that I just read you is usually found in glaucoma progression. And animal and human studies, they said, showed a lot of para-inflammation in the retinal ganglion cell layer and the optic nerve head. And they said this could explain the trabecular meshwork dysfunction and the elevated pressure. So glaucoma appears to be an eye disease where inflammation changes present various extents and has consequences with eye structure affecting your visual pathway. So inflammation is the kiss of death to vision, according to this research, Pastor.
If I remember right, and maybe I'm not sure if I do, if I remember right, but it seems to me that when I had done a program a while back, and maybe I got this wrong, but does this seem something that's very common among people that are alcoholics?
Yes, it is. I was going to get to that. You're way ahead of me, like usual.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so some of the causes they said that can contribute to these conditions and lead you down the path to glaucoma would be dry eye, eye gland dysfunction, and prolonged eyelid inflammation. So when your eye swells, your eyelid won't close completely, especially at night. And this can dry out the lipid layer of the eye. And then you can even have trouble opening your eye in the morning, and it can be very discomfort. It has a lot of discomfort. It's very painful. And you got to be careful because you can scratch your eye. You can kind of just, your eyelid can drag across your cornea and damage the cornea.
Boy, that's painful when you do that, and you scratch your eye. That's painful.
It is. You got a lot of nerve endings in the eye. If you get a scratch on the cornea, you're pretty much down for about 3 days. They don't want you really reading, watching TV, doing computer work, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was saying to myself, what could cause a lot of these eye conditions, dry eye and gland problems, eyelid inflammation? Excessive alcohol, like you said, is on the list. Tobacco use, a lot of computer work, a lot of blue light exposure, malnutrition, and a lot of oxidative stress of your cells. Now, stress affects the vascular system, and the blood flow to the eye is very delicate. It's your blood flow to your eye is delivered in a size of a vessel that's the breadth of a human hair. So it's very delicate circulation there. And if you get sustained stress in your life, it will inhibit a lot of recovery. By the way, the other things that are not good for the eyes do not like tannic acid. And do you know what you find tannic acid in, Pastor?
No, what?
You find it in coffee, black tea.
Oh boy.
Wine. Yep. You know, all the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
So those things have to be cut out, and the eyes do much better, and actually the swelling goes away. It's just incredible. You have this power. Everybody listening right now has this power right now to deal with this. So you also want to look also at medications that can be causing inflammation. So look up your medications carefully, maybe on WebMD. They give you the common and rare side effects to a lot of these drugs. So they're saying if you can treat inflammation, especially early in the development of eye disease, you can avoid a lot of cell loss to the eye and tissue damage, okay? That's what the Science Direct folks, so they're actually encouraging people to look at anti-inflammatory therapies for this.
Well,
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. You don't have to, you know, do the disease management thing. They're saying there's actually a cure for this.
Well, we know that God has given us a cure for all of those things.
But if you know what the cause is, it helps you find the cure. You know, a lot of times medicine doesn't tell you what causes it. A lot of times all people hear is it can't be cured. I think that means, in my book, it means they think it can't be cured. They don't know a therapy that can cure it. That doesn't mean there isn't one out there that can cure it.
I agree with that. Absolutely. There you go.
Okay. Yep.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much, young lady, for that, that words of wisdom. We're going to get, I've got to do a couple things here. We have a clip I wanted to play, but before we do all that, listen, we got to do something else. We got to tell the folks out there, I have, if people ever came to my house, they would see, I have my own apothecary. I have, I could open a store. I could open a store. I've got, but it works. And I take them and I keep going. All natural medicines that God gave was not what Big Pharma takes. And you talked about what medications. I don't take medications. I haven't in all these years. I've stayed away from every kind of drug that's out there. I mean, I don't even take like over-the-counter drugs. And so here, what you folks need to do is to get what I've got in front of me, and it's Wendy's Apothecary Herbs Catalog. And you can do that by calling this number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Now, in there, right in that catalog, a lot of what, like we were talking about tonight, it's in there. It's, she tells you what you need, what works, what God has given us, what God has given us for all these different symptoms, whether it's organ cleansing package, or whether it's infectious warts or nail fungus, whether it's cell endurance, prevention aid, you name it, she's got it here. Organ, let me see. Just start out
well,
here.
You know, Pastor, it's God's wisdom here. You know what I've noticed in the 23 years I've been doing this? I've noticed that cleanse and nourish. You get the top the nutrition in, and that usually helps the body heal itself. So,
yep.
You know, sometimes we just have to get out of the way and let the body do what it's supposed to do if we just don't undermine it, you know?
It makes sense to me. Okay, you even got sleep apnea. You've even got the kidney stone formula, the shingles be gone kit. That I know that works because I gave it to someone very close to me, and it works very fast.
Yeah, the herbs for the kidney stone. You know, a lot of people don't realize that there's herbs that can dissolve a kidney stone, so you don't have to go through the painful process of passing one.
Yeah, that is painful. So, but if you if you know this and you remember that and you keep the book. And be prepared. If you order it, but hang on to the catalog so you'll know when the time comes what you need to use for that. But anyhow, that's the way that works, right?
Yeah, we're working on a new catalog. We're hoping it'll be ready in February.
Okay, you want me to send you a picture?
Yeah, you keep wanting to put your picture in there, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Well, and I just want to say that if people have requested a catalog and they don't get it within 10 days, give us a call. A lot of times we've mailed them out, and it can take 10 days in some areas to get there. Usually it should only take 5, but the mail is what the mail is these days.
Well, you know what? If you were to put my picture in there and not Pastor Joe's, that would devastate him.
You know, I don't think they'd lose sleep on that, you know?
I'm ready to devastate him, so already.
Okay.
There you go. Listen, we got to tell you this. Here, Bill Gates and the climate. Well, look, before I do that, let me go to www.thepowerherbs.com, folks, thepowerherb.com, and be prepared. Right now, if many of you had that pandemic hit, this flu probably would have hit me a lot harder. Like, it's hit a lot of people. Some of the folks in our church got hit hard, and not me. The only thing I got was congestion because I had your stuff there, and then I started taking it right away.
Right,
And we're
still having our holiday sale, so it runs through the first of the year. So if they want to save 30%, give us a call so there, we can explain the details on that sale. But thepowerherbs.com, or they can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and the catalog is free if you want a catalog.
All right, very good. So we're going to go from someone who makes you well, Wendy Wilson, to someone who, to what Bill Gates, and Bill Gates don't want to make you well, and the climate change wackos. They're kind of angry out there, Wendy, because they couldn't push, you know, that we just would not buy all their climate change propaganda. So now what they're doing is they're releasing particles. Gates is spending billions of dollars. Now, what could possibly go wrong, right, if you have a startup with a program called Startup and starts releasing particles in the atmosphere to stop climate change, right? You know, do you think that maybe they'd have been better off to leave the climate to God, right?
Yeah, so you're saying they're seeding the atmosphere to encourage a climate change?
No, what they want to do is they want to stop the sun from shining, and they want to cloud it up. So let me just read you a little bit of this article. The global warming hysteria has now reached such a absurd height that a startup company will now attempt to control the weather via solar geoengineering. Unsurprisingly, such a move would have deadly, deadly unintended consequences if widely adopted. MIT Technology Review reported Saturday that a company called Make Sunsets has successfully launched weather balloons from Mexico that may have released sulfur particles into the atmosphere, like isomin. The co-founder and CEO claims that because the climate change presents such an imminent threat, bizarre interventions like theirs is necessary. No, it's not necessary. They're the problem, not the cure. It is morally wrong, in my opinion, for us not to do this thing, says Eisenman. What's important is to do them as quickly and safely as we can. Has that got anything to do with Bill Gates pouring billions of dollars into this? Disturbingly, Make Sunsets made the attempt to solar geoengineering without informing the public or even attempting to engage scientists. Experts who spoke at MIT Technology Review uniformly condemned the move. Now, we're going to play a clip and we'll be back right after this clip with a lot more. Listen, folks, it's very interesting.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.